Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. In 1950, Pope Pius XII, in an apostolic constitution named Munificentissimus Deus, which means Most Bountiful God, boldly proclaimed the dogma that Mary was taken up into heaven, body and soul, her body knowing no decay or without any corruption whatsoever. Now, when I was living in Israel, I would often visit the Church of the Dormition. Dormition means sleeping. The Church of the Dormition was in the old city of Jerusalem, and it was a beautiful church. And it was dedicated to honor the feast that we celebrate here today, the Assumption of Mary. Now, when you enter the church, you see these beautiful stained glass windows on either side of the church, depicting the major events of Mary's life, her birth, the Annunciation, the birth of Christ, the Incarnation, the flight into Egypt, and so on. Now, as you approach the altar, you see two doors on either side of the altar. As you walk through those doors, you go down a flight of staircases, and you enter into a very large room. And in the very center of the room is a statue of Mary, unlike any other that you've ever seen before. The statue is of Mary lying in state. Now, we've seen people, we've seen politicians, maybe famous soldiers lying in state. What occurs to me the most in memory is John F. Kennedy lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda for days, in which citizens here in the United States walk past to pay their respect. Well, here this statue is lying in state, a statue of Mary. Now, when I first saw this, I was shocked to see this statue of Mary dead. And why not? We've never seen such a statue like this, or even a picture of Mary. Every picture, every piece of artwork, paintings, sculptures, murals, they all depict images of Mary's life. She is alive. Whether it's images of Mary as a young girl, maybe the image of the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary in the story of the Annunciation, Mary holding the infant child, or Mary standing at the foot of the cross, she's always alive. And yet, here in this incredibly unique statue, we see Mary lying in state, dead. Now, can only imagine the event. Mary lying in state, the apostles gathered around here, kneeling and praying for her. What I want to offer today is just a few thoughts about this great feast of the Assumption of Mary and our devotion and love for her. Urs von Balthasar, a great Catholic German 20th century theologian, once said, "Mary is to Jesus as the moon is to the sun." Mary reflects the life and the light of Christ. Mary's light comes from Christ. Now, what von Balthasar was getting at is if we look at the moon, especially at night, and if it's a great full moon, we see light coming from the moon. And in doing so, it illuminates the darkness of night. With a full moon, we have enough light to see, you know, those rocks over there, that log over there. We're able to successfully navigate fairly safely in the night because there is so much light given off from the moon. It illuminates a world in darkness. Now, the moon is not a live planet. It's a dead planet. It's a rock. It's not able to generate its own light. Instead, The source of the light is the sun. The sun illuminates the moon, and therefore the moon reflects the light of the sun onto the earth and illuminates a darkened world at night. And see, that's exactly what Mary does. She is illuminated by her sun, and therefore she reflects that light of her sun, the source of the light, onto a darkened world, a world that is darkened by sin. And therefore, we are now able to successfully navigate back to her son. Mary is constantly reflecting that light of Jesus Christ onto a darkened world, into our darkened lives. And in therefore, she helps us always to see the way back to her son. And see, this is why we pray to Mary. This is why we have such a devotion and a love for Mary. And it's the reason why many of our Protestant brothers and sisters have a very hard time understanding our devotion to Mary. Now, what we have to understand, there is a clear and distinctive definition or distinction between devotion and worship. We as Catholics worship God and God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't worship Mary. We're devoted to her. We have a devotion to her, and therefore we love her. And we pray to her, and we ask that she prays for us. Always help us, guide us back to her son. We pray that she may continue to reflect the divine illuminating light of Christ into our lives, so that we can grow in our love and knowledge of her son, Jesus Christ. And see, that's the image that the first reading gives us from the book of Revelation. It says, "A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet." Well, that's the image of Mary, bathed in the sun, in this case, the Son of Jesus Christ. She's reflecting that divine illuminating light of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Mary shows us, she's pointing the way to Christ in our life. It continues, "She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod." One of the titles that we give Mary is Mother of God. In fact, our church bestowed that upon Mary in the 4th century in the Council of Ephesus. There, the council gave Mary the title of Theotokos, which is Greek, which means God-bearer. Mary truly is the Mother of God, and yet that title does not draw attention to her. Instead, it draws attention to her son. Again, Mary is pointing to her son. When we refer to Mary as the Mother of God, it refers more importantly to Jesus' incarnation, Jesus being born into this world. And since Christ is born into this world, just like each and every one of us, then it's only proper that we speak about Christ having a mother. And see, that's just another example of Mary pointing into the direction of her son. Another great example of this is the feast itself, in which we celebrate the Assumption of Mary. This feast, the Assumption of Mary, reflects the light of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. When he left that tomb, he left nothing behind. And therefore, Mary's Assumption is one in which she is assumed into heaven, body and soul. And therefore, the Assumption itself points to the resurrection and the importance of it. Through Jesus' resurrection, he now carves out a pathway that never existed before, a pathway that now Mary herself journeys on to go to heaven, a pathway that we all hope and aspire to travel on and journey one day in our life. I'll leave you with just one last thought. Pius XII boldly proclaimed, "Mary, her body and her soul was assumed into heaven. Her body did not know any decay or corruption." Why? Because she was full of grace. From the very moment of her conception, she was filled with grace. Remember the story of the Annunciation? The angel Gabriel appears to Mary to announce to her that she is going to be the Mother of God. How does the angel Gabriel address Mary? He says to her, "Hail Mary, full of grace." Now, we use that same expression when we pray the Hail Mary ourselves. Now, stay with that prayer, the Hail Mary. At the very end of the Hail Mary, we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We pray and we believe that Mary will be with us at the very end, in the very hour of our death. That's why we believe as Catholics that Mary is the patroness of the dying, that she truly does come for us at the moment of our death. She comes and she sits beside us. She gently holds our hand, and then she begins to whisper into our ear about all the wonderful experiences and the things we're about to see in heaven. Like a good mother, she eases our tension. Like a good mother, she takes away any fear that we might have of death. And like a good mother, she prepares us for the journey ahead, the journey that she has already taken and the journey that we all hope one day we will take to heaven. My friends, today we celebrate the great assumption of Mary into heaven, assumed body and soul. I would ask you to please take some time today. Please pray the Hail Mary, and in doing so, pray today for all those people that are going to be taken up to heaven today, all those people that are going to die today, especially those that are going to die alone and forgotten. Please pray the Hail Mary for them, that Mary will come and comfort them on their journey back home to be with God in heaven. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.